Appreciate you guys so much for inviting me and having me come here. And this is a great series. I love it. It's one of my favorite things is being a gospel preacher. You see everyone else that has different series and everything else, and you just kind of pack that away and like, that's good to remember. And so in the future, and if I need a youth rally, this is a great theme. Definitely I ask for prayers because it's been chaos with being busy and on the summer. And also getting ready to, you know, have six kids. And actually we're going to have a total of nine, all of us total, to get on a plane to go to Idaho to go work there. So pray that that goes well. Pray that we can get on a plane before that lovely hurricane, whatever, comes our way. And so we just pray for that. I'm going to tell you right now, to kind of go into this theme here that we're talking about there, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to be there in a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I've had the privilege to go speak at a lot of different youth rallies and got to go work with a whole bunch of different camps, and in the midst of that, also sharing the gospel. I'm very big into evangelism. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love to talk, and sometimes I talk fast. And so that you just if I'm talking fast, just kind of do this and I'll slow down. But we only have so much time, so we're going to go ahead and begin, right? One of the best places that you can do evangelism where they can't leave is where? It's going to be on a plane, right? Not a lot of options there, is there? So that's one of my favorite things is, like, I'll sit down, and usually people put their headphones in right off the bat. Me, I just wait for a minute because I have no idea who's going to sit beside me. A lot of times I'll even make sure my kids and all them, my lovely wife, they'll be behind me because they know I'm gonna do some evangelism is what I'm going to do. If they're willing, right? And so I've learned a long time ago that if you just start off by saying, hi, I'm a minister, you know, when they ask the question, guess what happens? Oh, great, okay. And then you lose them, right? And so a lot of times what I've done is I've had a buddy of mine, he said this and he got it from somewhere, but it works, you know, it's kind of one of those where you try to hook them in with a little conversation. And someone asked me, they said, what'd you do for a living? Oh, here we go, right? I'm excited. And I said, let me tell you what I do. I work for a global entity, and me specifically, I work on behavioral modification is what I work on. That's my specialty. And in fact, this amazing group that I work with, we have outlets everywhere, all throughout the world. And they're like, really? I said, yes. And not only that, I mean, we take care of you, we teach you, we encourage you from birth all the way to death. And they're like, and what is this called? I go, it's called the church. And they go, oh, you're a preacher. I'm like, yeah, but if I said that, you wouldn't, you know, and you've been gone, you know. And that just kind of breaks the ice right there. And I've used that a couple times, and it works. And all of a sudden, we're having a conversation. And the conversation usually goes, is there anything I can do or pray with you for? That's a big thing. I love that your congregation here, what I just witnessed, I don't see that a lot. I don't see that. I agree what he said, is that you guys are a praying congregation, and that just shows it right here. Because prayer is one thing that I think we as Christians, if we're not careful, we just kind of knock it to the side, be like, oh, you know, that's just what it is. You know, we'll go to him when we need him. But in reality is, how many times do we come together on Sundays and on Wednesdays, knowing that people are hurting, people need prayers, that maybe people in the community need these things, right? And we just kind of go, well, we're going to check that box. We're here, right? No. You know, we take this time to know the church family, to get to know the church family and pray for them. And so for that, I love that you guys do that and keep on doing that. I say all that to say this, that plane story, someone asked me the question. They said, so when did you receive your calling? I said, my what? He goes, you know, your calling to be a pastor. I was like, oh, well, I said, you know what's interesting? I said, whenever you look over there in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 14, you know what it says? And she said, I guess you're going to tell me. I said, absolutely, I'm going to tell you. I said, there beginning in verse 13, it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit in belief in truth. Verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, we're all called. I said, we're all called. We all receive, if you want to say that, call. We've all been called by the gospel. And I said, have you heard about the gospel? And she goes, isn't that the thing with Jesus? I go, he played a big part in that, yes. Let's have a conversation about it. I said, well, first off, that's how your spiritual life. And so we'd have conversation. And I know the biggest fear when it comes to evangelism is I don't know enough, right? Yeah, I think that's what the number one thing I get. When I get teens that text me all the time. And they say, hey, I'm struggling. I got teens all over the country. They're saying, hey, how do I talk to my friends about, you know, their spiritual life? How do I even open that door? Or, you know, I don't know how to begin that conversation. I said, you know more than you think. I promise you there. You know more than you think. A lot of it is just putting into application. A lot of it is just kind of following through. And a lot of the questions you get asked, you're going to get it over and over. So just equip yourselves where you could talk to your friends. Because there's nothing to be ashamed of to be a Christian. Despite what the world may tell you today, you should not be ashamed to be a Christian. So when did I receive my calling? Hey, we're all called. We're all called, right? And there are many ways that we can show that through Scripture, and that's what we do. But for time's sake, we got to talk about our guy. We got to talk about Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. He got this young man, as it starts off there. It says, the boy. Now, once again, who is this boy? Remember, earlier on in the chapters, we have Hannah. Hannah was barren, could not have a child. To paraphrase here, went to the tabernacle, and then all of a sudden we have the promise that was made. And sure enough, God keeps his promises, doesn't he? And that's what we see. And now we got little Samuel. And Samuel's dedicated, working underneath Eli, the priest there. And so what we got here is now this conversation here. In chapter 3, verse 1. Read with me. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there was no widespread revelation. It says, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place, and his eyes began to grow and so dim that he could not see, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, no, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went to lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, he said, I did not call, my son. Go lie down again. Verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not know yet that the Lord, nor the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel a third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you. Did you call me? Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, are you ready? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Exclamation point, right? This ain't no quiet. This ain't no whisper like, hey, Samuel, wake up. Right? No, no. This is Samuel, Samuel. You know, I could understand why he ran in the first couple of times. I got six kids. You tell them to go to bed, it's like, you know, one of them is going to keep coming through that door and have a question because they just have to ask it at the bedtime, right? Right? That's how that works. And so, but I could also feel like Eli where I'm like, kid, I love you. Go lay down. Right? It's not clicking with Eli yet, is it? But when it does, he goes, oh, I know what this is. And he tells him very simply, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So once again, verse 10, as he came the other time, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it, it will tingle. You go on and you read the scripture. If we had time, we would. But you see about the prophecy that was going to be happening to Eli and his household because of his corrupt sons. You're going to find out that Eli's house is going to fall. That the Philistines are going to all of a sudden not only take people captive, the whole people captive, but not only that, the ark is going to be taken from them. And whenever you read about all this and about that young prophet boy, the things that he knows because he is now a prophet of God, that news spread far and wide. All of Israel knew that there is now a prophet of God in Israel, and his name was Samuel. And then we know that Samuel grew up, and as he grew up, he continued to speak on God's behalf. We know that even at an early age, he was a little hesitant to tell Eli exactly what God said. Why? Because what God said was concerning Eli. Because of your wicked sons, and because of what they were doing, your house is going to fall. Right? Now, I love the part where Eli's like, what did he say? Can you imagine being that young man? How's he going to take this? Is he going to believe me? But what did Eli say? Eli knew that this is from God as soon as he said all the things that was said to him. You got Samuel at a young age was willing, here's the first thing, to listen. To listen. How many times, church, how many times have we read something in Scripture, heard the preacher proclaim something, and if we're not careful, it goes from here and it goes right out here. Or maybe we'll say amen, or we agree and say yes, absolutely, but as soon as we hit those doors, man, what happened? Right? I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that many times. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a young person, I was sitting there and everything else. I'm like, you better recognize the rest of you. And I walk out that door and I'm like, just as guilty. Right? You got to be willing to listen. That's what it boils down to. The first thing you got to do, and that's exactly what Samuel did. Samuel, listen. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I think that's a problem today. I think that's a problem that I've noticed with not just the young people. I've seen that all around in the church, right? That we have these amazing sermons that get churned out from the Word of God that's being proclaimed, that is being proclaimed and established with evidence by the Word of God. And then if, for me, I got a lot of teens that are like, hey, you got social media? I'm like, I do. Do I check it all the time? Rarely. And they're like, I'm going to add you as a friend. I'm going to tell you right now, that's their biggest mistake. You know why? Because I say this every time. They're like, can I add you? I said, absolutely. But know this. If I see you, little sister or little brother, acting like the world and not like a Christian, you're going to get a bling. Hey, can I talk to you about your spiritual life? Man, my friend's count just goes like this. After camp, it's like, and then after about 2 weeks, it's like, I'm like, what happened? I just want to talk to you about something. I do it in a loving way, right? Because if you are my brother and sister in Christ, I'm going to encourage you. I want to encourage you about your decisions and everything else. So many times it is the prospect or the mindset of, yes, I'm going to take it in. But then we forget it before we even leave the building. So how do we retain that? How do we understand and process that? We got to meditate on it, church, right? If you take notes, you take notes. But you got to be willing to listen to the Word of God. That's what Samuel did right off the bat. And at a young age, he knew, I got to listen. But it's not just that. It's not just listening. You can look at other examples. We can talk about Samuel and how he continued to grow up in the stature of learning the Word of God and standing firm and being speaking on God's behalf and doesn't edit, doesn't filter it. It is the Word of God. That's the courage and boldness, right? Do you think there was probably some difficult times? Man, look at the time whenever he had to go deal with Saul, right? You know, he told Saul, this is what I want you to do, Saul. You're going to wait for me. I'm going to give the offer and everything. Sounds good. And then he shows up. What am I hearing, Saul? The bleeding of what am I hearing, right? Oh, you did not do what God said. Oh. He had to even do the difficult things, didn't he? He can't run away from it. He was a prophet of God, right? Let's look at another. See, that's how God works. God always calls men to go and proclaim His word, and that's how it's always been. Do me a favor. Let's look at another example. We're going to keep with the mindset of calling and service, you know, be on the behalf of service of the Lord. We've had other men just like Samuel, but let's see their reaction. It's different than Samuel. Samuel says, yes, I'm hearing what you're saying, God, and I will do it. Other prophets, it took a little bit, didn't it? What about Jonah? Man, Jonah was the one, right? Jonah was God's prophet at the time. And then all of a sudden, God says, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh. Nope. Not going to happen. Right? Right? And you know what? When I was in preaching school, I had to do a whole paper on Nineveh. And I started doing some research and reading some commentaries. I kind of get why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. You know what they used to do? The little ones gone, I hope. Man, the torture that they would do and everything else, it was just barbaric and horrible. To the point, at one point, you would have in front of Nineveh, towards the gates, you would have people. They weren't really smiling, but towards the gates. So that's what you had to walk by before you get. So yeah, I get why Jonah didn't want to go there. But God said, you go. They need to repent or else they're going to fall. And Jonah said, sure thing, I'll be there in a minute. No. What do we read here? What did Jonah do? All of a sudden, he got on a boat. Not only did he get in the boat, he went to the bottom of the boat, right? As if to hide from God. And then go the opposite direction all the way to Tarshish, right? You have this man who is a prophet of God. And instead of hearing God's word and hearing the word of God, what did he do? He heard it, but he ran away. And that's a reaction we see from us too, isn't it? We got Jonah here, who showed it was basically lack of faith. And also a lack of love, because if you remember the outcome of that, right? When he finally did do the right thing and went to Nineveh, what did he do? He got on top and he waited for God to smite them, right? He's like, oh man, God's justice is coming. Well, they repented. Do you not remember? So when you go back and you look and Jonah got there, he taught them, and all of a sudden they reacted what? They repented, and God said what? If they repent, I will relent my anger against them. And they did. But that wasn't good enough for Jonah. Jonah wanted front row seats to watch them be destroyed, right? Church, if we're not careful, we're like Jonah, aren't we? Instead of saying, hear God, your servant, or speak God for your servant hears, instead, sometimes we become like Jonah. Instead of hearing, we hear it, but we're going to go the other way, and we're going to talk bad all about everything, right? Some people are acting like they're playing hide and go seek with God, and he's going to say, ready or not, here I come, and y'all ain't ready. I've been just as guilty, haven't I? We got to understand, when it comes to Jonah, we can be just like him. Why did Jonah not go to Nineveh to begin with? Do you know why? He was afraid, right? And I think sometimes that is also us. Fear, like Jonah, we run away from our spiritual obligations, right? Instead of answering the call to go do something, fear stops us. Fear maybe prevents us from being evangelistic. Fear maybe prevents us from being the loving, you know, caring brother or sister in Christ. Fear prevents many people who have left the church to walk through those doors again. It's fear. And sometimes we're too afraid to ask, what can I do to help? If we're not careful, we can be like a Jonah, can't we? Running away from our spiritual obligations, not answering the call like we need. What about another one that has a great example of probably not doing what he should do? He was definitely not like Samuel in the beginning, right? I'm talking about Moses. When you look at Moses, did he answer the call right away? There at the burning bush, God said, Moses, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go let my people go. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and this is what's going to happen. What did Moses say? Sure thing, I'll get right on it. No. He gave more excuses than my kids when I try to get them to do chores, right? Hey, there's those dishes over there. Hey, Dad, listen, you didn't hear it from me, but your daughter, she made a cake last night. That was delicious, but all that is hers. Oh, so she should do the dishes? I'm just saying. I mean, did you eat the cake? It was delicious. Uh-huh. And whose plate is all that? That would be mine, but that cake, right? Passing responsibility, making excuses. And that's exactly what Moses was doing, right? You're going to go let my people go. And all of a sudden Moses said, now hold on now. Who do I say that, you know, sent me? You know, or who am I to be the one to go do that? Or my favorite excuse, I don't talk good. Well, that's just a slap in the face of God right there, isn't it? Right? All of a sudden, I don't talk good. Who created man's mouth? It was God. It was God. Finally got to the point where God says, you're going. Because he got to his final where Moses just finally just sent someone else. Did he answer the call? He did not. Not willingly in the beginning, right? Instead of having the mindset and the attitude like Samuel at a young age, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Moses heard it and he said, send someone else. But not Samuel. Samuel said, it's me. I'll go. I'll do it. If we're not careful, we can be just like Moses. Moses didn't think he was the one that needed to do it. And are we not the same? Do we not answer the call when it comes to the service of the Lord because we think someone else is better suited to do it? Or maybe we just always think of someone else, right? Someone else will take care of that. Someone else will take care of the, you know, fill in the blank. A lot of times we ourselves, we rationalize saying we're just not suited for some spiritual work. That surely God will find someone other than me to do what needs to be done. Well, simply, we have to answer that call. And a lot of times, you guys can reach more people than I can, right? Unless they're trapped on an airplane. But a lot of times, you guys, it's your friends. I tell my teens, I'm like, look, it's easier for you to communicate with your friends than me. Because they know you. I look at the older people, I say, you have a better relationship than I would, you know? I've had some people like, hey, I've been telling my neighbor that, man, you just got to meet our youth family guy. And, you know, I'm going to invite you. And I get what they're doing and everything else. I said, but what about you? They're like, me? What am I going to do? I'm like, man, you could do so much. How long have you known them? I've known them forever. I went, okay. What do they know about you? They know that I love the Lord. Okay. Sister, I know you know your scripture like the back of my hand. Then what am I going to do? But it's you. And I'll go there. I'll be your cheerleader. Like, I'll encourage you. Like, you could do it, right? I'll be there every step of the way. If you need that courage, I'm there. But you would have a better rapport than me. But a lot of times we don't think like that. We think, well, that's the preacher's job. That's the youth minister's job. That's the deacon's job. That's the elder's job. Church, we're all called, aren't we? We're all called. One guy that I did read about early on that I agreed with that was just like Samuel. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You know the one I'm going to talk about, right? It's Isaiah, right? God was telling Isaiah, hey, here's what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, what did Isaiah say? Despite all the sin that's going on, despite everything that's going on, what did Isaiah say? He said, here am I. Send me. Send me. I'm the one going. That showed his eagerness, didn't it? His eagerness to answer that call. Let's be honest. There's some phone calls we're not that eager to answer, isn't there? Right? Sometimes we're like, I will talk to them in a minute. And if you're like me, you'll forget. And then you see them the next day, you're like, oh yeah, sorry. But when it comes to a spiritual thing, how many times do we not answer that and run away from it or out of fear not do something or think someone else is best suited for the job instead of taking it upon ourselves to do the service of the Lord? It's got to be us. We need to have that responsibility to do it. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But Isaiah, his motives were right, right? You know, he saw the majesty of the glory of God back there in Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 4. The sinfulness of man was talked about there in verse 5. And then forgiveness of God that was going to happen there in 6 and 7. But he responded with such eagerness to go and deliver the people. This prophet of God. This should be consistent with our attitude and our actions, right? You know, I'm reminded there, if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, please open them. I don't want you to take my word for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 through 5. Look what Paul says here to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 3 through 5. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency. Now we should receive the gift of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You go on there, it says, and not only as of hope, but as they first gave themselves unto the Lord, that then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus, as he had begun, that he'd also be complete in the grace as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and in your love for us, that you abound in this grace also. But did you notice how many times he mentioned urgency? It's an urgent thing, right? It's things that you got to do. It's urgent. When Samuel got the message, whenever God spoke to him, he took that message. And how long did he keep that to himself? He didn't. He told Eli the next day. He could have kept it to himself, but he told Eli the next day. Anytime that there's a message, he would deliver that. whether it is good or bad, he would deliver the message every step of the way. Didn't matter if you were a king. Didn't matter if you were King Saul standing right in front of you. God's going to talk to you through Samuel because he was in the service of the Lord. And whenever that kingdom was taken away from him and Samuel's looking for the new king, and all of a sudden, do you remember? He gets to David's brother first and he goes, look, the Lord's anointed is before me. And what did God say? Oh, Samuel. No, you're looking with appearance. I've already looked in his heart. I got someone else, right? I'm paraphrasing. This little ruddy, good-looking boy named David. That just shows you that the wisdom of God is far more wiser than man. Because Samuel said, this is him. And God said, not even close. It's his little brother. And sometimes we're guilty of that too, don't we? We only judge people by sometimes appearance instead of righteous judgment. That's talked about there in John 7, verse 24. We need to be eager just like Samuel was, just like Isaiah was. We don't need to be like Moses in the beginning where all of a sudden he's making excuses of why we can't answer the call of the service of the Lord. We definitely don't need to be like Jonah and run away and hide. We need to own up and we need to answer that call. So how do you do that? What are the three things that God has called us to do? I made sure to look at the brochure that I'm not stepping on anyone else's toes. First thing is we're called to be saints. What does that mean? That we are sanctified, that we are set apart from the world, church. That's what we are called to be as Christians. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 and also verse 9, God calls us with this holy calling. You know, that we are that royal nation, that holy nation, that royal priesthood, right? That we are set apart for that reason. That is who we are. We are the Lord's church. So why is it that sometimes the Lord's church is trying to be like the world? Why is it that sometimes we go out there and pretend like we're the world? Man, there's a lot going on in this nation right now. And I have people that come to me and they're like, well, what do you think? What are we going to do? I said, you know what? I'm a Christian. I know who's in control. Right? I read. What did Daniel 4 say? Even the king Nebuchadnezzar brought down to his knees because of God Almighty. I said, so why am I going to worry about all that's out there when I know who's going to be in control? That doesn't mean that I'm not going to perk my ears up to see and speak on behalf of God when I need to because I'm going to, right? Right? And then, yes, and I have one brother, he goes, Bud, Romans 13, say, obey. Yes, obey the laws of the land, but when the laws of the land goes against God, we ought to obey God rather than men, amen? They said, yes. I said, okay. Then what you worried about? I said, it's all going to be okay. We're called to be set apart, sanctified, be holy. Why? Because God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. That's what we're called to be. Set apart from that. We are the light in this world of darkness. How powerful is that? If I go out to I'm going to admit something. I don't watch sports, okay? I'm sorry. I just never got into it. I like the food, though. Thank you for that. But if I go to a stadium, what's a football stadium? You look like you play sports. What's a football stadium here? You don't even know? You don't play it either? You play video games. That's okay, man. All right. Let's say was it Buccaneers? Is that football? Was that baseball? What is that? Anywho, let's go to a stadium, shall we? You go to a stadium, and if it's all pitch black and it's all dark, I could go stand in the middle of that football field and light a match. Who's going to see it? If you light that fire, that light, that little light, you can be at the very top. Someone's going to see that little bit of light. If it's pitch black, someone's going to see a little light, right? That's what we are. So what happens when you get a whole bunch of lights together and it's the church? We're called to be the lights of the world, aren't we? Right? So I don't care if we're in West Palm, that this whole place is just radiating of being the light. Why? Because we are that royal nation, his royal priesthood, his special people. We should have an influence, just as that teacher had an influence on that little one, said, hey, can you pray? You're already doing the job. Keep going. We are called to be set apart from the world. So when we answer that call of service, Lord, speak to me for your servant hears. Well, I need you to be the salt of the earth. Sounds good. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to be the salt of the earth. We're going to be the light of the world. We're going to be, you know, traveling through this world knowing our main goal, because this is just temporary, church. This ain't my home. It's just like that song sings. We're just passing through. This is one long camping trip. I got to go on, go do a camp next week. And those lovely, cozy beds, right? Every camp has them. Tempur-Pedic, it's great. Come back and I realize my age every single time. They're like, we put a new mattress. You did? Can we get four more? But that's all this is. This is just a big camping trip. Our home awaits us. We're just not there yet. Right? That's where we're going. That's where we're going. So we need to be reminded that when we answer this call of service, we're just passing through. While we are here, we're going to do everything we can. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. Are we going to have that mindset? We're going to answer that call, or we're going to say, no, just send someone else. That's not answering the service of the Lord. That's not answering that call to service. What about here in the church? I'm pretty sure you're kind of like any congregation out there. There's some needs within this congregation, is there not? And sometimes we think, well, I'm answering the service and doing that. That's great. But what about your local church? How is that going? There's going to be two types of people. There's always going to be two types of people in every congregation that you're at. You're going to have your spectators and you're going to have your participants, right? Your spectators, what are they going to do? Sometimes good meaning people, they'll speculate, they'll criticize, and some people even seek personal pleasure. That's what's going to happen, right? Now, some people just can't do it because they physically can't do it. We ain't talking about that, right? We ain't talking about you. But those spectators who like to say, you know, I got a good idea. Sounds great. Let's work together and do that. No, I don't want to do that. I'm just telling you. Oh, okay, well, who wants to help? No one. Okay, so then what are we going to do with that? It's a great work. It's a great idea. Let's follow through. Right? That's what we need to do. Then you're going to have your participants. These are the hardworking. These are the ones that's constantly improving and growing. And so you're going to have those two types of people. How can we encourage each other to continue to grow, to answer the service, the call of the service of our Lord? What about teaching class? You know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. I guarantee you guys have different functions and different ministries that you guys do. You have a youth and family minister? Yeah? Trust me, reach out to him. He will find you something to do. Because if he's anything like me, I'll look and I give a list. I say, I need this. And they're like, why do you need 10 pool noodles? And I'm like, just trust me. It's encouraging, right? Because the help is going to be from us. And that is what our service is. We use our gifts to help out and serve the church. Look over 1 Peter chapter 4 while we wrap up. Really wish we had more time to dive into some of these things. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Says this, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received the gift of minister to one another, as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him minister as with his ability, which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Corinthians talks about that. We all have our part in the church, do we not? We all have our part to do when it comes to the Lord's church, the body, and he is the head. Christ is the head. But in order for the body to function, what happens when one part of the body doesn't work? It's no good. It's done away with, right? So we got to be able to function together, to work together, to have that unity. We can't do that if we're fighting. We can't do that if we're saying someone else will take care of it. We can't do that and have cancer that's just spreading all throughout the body. It doesn't work. We got to come together and see what the weaknesses is and encourage those weaknesses to heal, to encourage, to strengthen the body so we can be effective in the community. That's what it takes to answer the service of the call of our Lord. I will tell you this right now. I heard a preacher say it, and I so agree with it. He says, if you have the ability and you have the opportunity, you have the responsibility. I'm going to say that again. If you have the ability and you have the opportunity, you have that responsibility. It's you. Answer that call. It's ringing. Answer it. That's your moment. Sometimes we pray to God and say, God, just give me an option, or give me, make sure that I'm able to be able to help out whoever. Make me be a beacon of light in this community. And all of a sudden, God's like, boom, here's like five options. And we're like, you know what? I ain't got time for that. I'm just as guilty. My kids hate it when I have to go to Walmart, because this is the next point right here. To answer the service of the call of the Lord, you got to what? You got to be willing to be set apart from the world. You got to be willing to help in the service of the Lord when it comes to worship and it comes to the church. But you also got to evangelize, church. That's why I get in trouble when I go to Walmart. My wife, she looked at me 2 days ago. She said, baby doll, I just need you to go. Now look, I'm sorry, I'm focusing. Go in, get milk, check out, come home. Yes, ma'am. Grab the milk. Hey, I was like, hey, how you doing? How's your spiritual life going? 45 minutes later, we're having a Bible study right there in Walmart in the milk section. I had to go swap out the milks. That milk was warm by the time I had to grab a fresh one. So I got done. We were talking and everything else. Invited her to church because that's what I'm going to do. I'm an evangelist. That's what I enjoy doing, right? She learns quickly. She's just going to have to go. Or send the oldest. He's 18. He could drive. But evangelism is so important. To answer the call of the service, you got to evangelize. That has got to happen, right? And sometimes it goes down to this. Some people say, well, I just don't have the knowledge. Once again, it goes back to what I said earlier. You might have the knowledge, you just don't know what you can do with it. But you can study more, can't you? You can even simply just do the Nathaniel approach, just come and see. Can anything good come out of that? Just come and see. Well, what does your church do? Come and see. Well, like, what do you all... Come and see. Well, I don't want to get tied down. Just come and see. Send an invite. We have social media. That's a great, powerful tool. Man, you could do a lot. Teens, you have every capability. I had a teen the other day. I was talking to him, and he was on Discord. And next thing I know, he's playing a game, and he's playing a game online. And I'm jumping in. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to play and trying to keep up with him. And next thing I know, he is proclaiming the gospel to his buddy who is on Discord. So to say you can't have that opportunity, it's everywhere. But we have to evangelize. What did Jesus say about the vine? Jesus said simply this. He goes, I'm the true vine and you are the branches. If you produce fruit, what's going to happen? You're going to be pruned so you can produce more fruit. What's going to happen, church, if we don't produce fruit? Well, that's the preacher's job. That's the elder's job. That's the deacon's job. No. We're the branches. Are we going to do the Jonah approach and turn around and run because of fear? Or we're going to face it head on and answer the call like Samuel. Your servant's here. Go ahead and speak. I want to close with this. Sometimes we think we have time. We don't know how much time we got. Ephesians says that we need to redeem the time, right? We need to make sure that we have good use of our time because we don't know when he's coming back. I heard this a while back from a gospel preacher, and I love it, and it stuck with me, and it hits hard in the end for me, and I want to share it with you. When it comes to answering this call, I'll pick it up eventually. I'll eventually call them back. I'll eventually do that. God, I will get you in my life. It's just not right now. I knelt to pray, but not too long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I said a hurried prayer, and I jumped off my knees. My Christian duty was now complete. My soul could rest at ease. All day long, I had no time to spread the word of cheer. No time to speak of Christ to my friends. They'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time. That was my constant cry. No time to give in souls in need. And then it came the time to die. I stood before the Lord with downcast eyes. And in his hand, he held the book. It was the book of life. He looked at me and he looked in his book. He says, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but I never had the time. Now's the time. So where are you at, church? Are you on that bottom of that boat running? Maybe you're just making excuse after excuse. I'll eventually get to it. Or maybe we should be more like Samuel saying, speak to me. I'm ready, as we read his word. or with eagerness, like Isaiah saying, here am I, send me, I'll do it. What are you going to do? Thank you.